It's the Big Dumb Picture Show.
And welcome back to Big Dumb Picture Show. It has been a while. As always, I am your host, Dustin Meadows, here with our faithful tech sound fact checker, Eric Caprell. Happy to be back. We just got really busy for a few months. Sometimes life gets in the way. And believe it or not, there are more important things than podcasting. So
really?
Yeah. I'm not getting paid for this. Who gives a shit? But we appreciate you listening. That's the important part.
It is.
So we are back. Hopefully we'll be resuming a regular production schedule of every other week going into the new year. So excited to get back on track with that. Today, joined by a couple of regulars. Mm-hmm. We are here with Jackie Shreves.
I'm Jackie. I'm regular.
Classic regular Jackie. And I think in his seventh appearance on the podcast now, Pat Ooh. Deering.
Something like that. Yep. Glad to be back.
Yeah, glad
You're
to
like
have you
super
back.
Regular.
Yeah, the regularist. And we watched The Purge. Nice little, I guess technically it's kind of a sci-fi slash horror film.
Yeah.
Because it does deal with the future and technology to an extent and all that. We watched the first Purge, and it's basically the premise of the movie is a new shitty political party in America starts as an amendment and allows for a 12-hour period called the Purge where all crime is legal. And we will get into the details of that a little bit more, but that's basically premise of the first movie. And this first movie is actually a home invasion movie, mm-hmm. which is a lot of fun. It's a home invasion slash siege film, so it's hitting a lot of boxes that Dustin Meadows is a fan of in his movies. So, big fan of the series. This movie was also made for, I think, $3 million and made $89-90 million during its theatrical run. So it's what you might call a bit of a runaway success, a sleeper film, if you will. So it did very well for itself. Now, Jackie and I have seen the film. Mm-hmm. Pat, you have not.
No, first time today.
How have you not seen? You haven't seen any of the Purge films.
None of them.
How have you not seen this?
You know, I remember The Purge coming out, and I remember thinking to myself that it was just going to be a standard home invasion type movie.
Uh-huh.
And that, you know, it was going to be kind of over the top gory and a little just ridiculous to try and fit into this universe of like, all crime's legal for 12 hours, go nuts. And I didn't really think the movie was going to have the control that it actually did wind up having. And not to say the movie isn't ridiculous, but I was expecting it to just be like a total bloodbath, like out in the streets and everything, and they did a much better job of keeping it focused on this particular family in this particular home, and you know, their kind of moral conflicts with the whole thing.
Yeah,
which I wasn't really expecting from the film.
Yeah, so I think I've mentioned it on another episode of the podcast. What I love about the Purge movies is they start small, and with each following installment they expand on the world that they've built, and you learn more about like how the country operates in a world where the Purge is a very real thing. It's kind of like seasons of The Wire. They deal with different levels of infrastructure that affect the city of Baltimore. So this first movie, you see how it literally just affects the smallest possible one family living in the suburbs. Then Purge Anarchy does spill out onto the streets. And then Purge Election Year, you see how it reaches like even like the highest political levels, which we're going to get to later when we finish the trilogy. Mm-hmm. So I'm very excited to do that. So first, your first kind of thoughts, reactions. Did you like it?
I did. It was oddly a lot of fun. I had like more laughs in the movie than I thought I would.
Mm-hmm.
Ethan Hawke is somehow compelling, which is something that I usually don't expect from Ethan Hawke.
Uh-huh.
So I was pretty into his character and his family, you know, especially with the kind of stages of like realizing the moral implications of what he's involved with that he goes through.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed that. Don't know who played the mom, but she was
Lena
great.
Headey.
Lena Headey.
Cersei,
okay.
From Game of Thrones.
Oh. That's right. Okay. Yeah, she's got a great mom scream.
Mm-hmm.
She's real good at that. Heard a lot of it in the movie.
And I like that too. A lot of you can see similarities between her character in this and Cersei in Game of Thrones, because they're both like, their primary motivation is their family, is their children. So it's interesting seeing, because like Cersei straight up is not a good person, mm-hmm. but like at her core, like she cares about her children. Lena Headey, and this is just an average, you know, mom whose family has benefited from the evils of the Purge. But like, even to like throughout the movie, you see she very much cares about her family, cares about her children. So it's, I think that's why a character like Cersei works, because like, even if you want to be like, oh, she's the fucking worst, it's like, yeah, but she's also like a mom. Like she has like real humanizing motivations. Jackie, what about you? You've seen this before. You and I have. So where does this movie fall for you? Like, just in the general movies that Jackie likes, doesn't like.
This is a movie I like. I had first seen it when I was in high school, with a bunch of people, where I was invited to go to the movies and no one told me I was supposed to drive. So that was an interesting start to the night. But I really enjoyed it when we watched it. I haven't seen the following two, because after high school, no one wants to hang out with you anymore. I had a really good time watching it. I like movies that make you kind of anxious mm-hmm. about other people, and especially leaving the theater. I was like, I don't want anyone to be even close to me. Like, I would appreciate this crowd not being near me. And I do like you mentioned, how it starts small, and then from what I've heard, it gets big. It's like the Marvel. This is like the Captain America.
Yeah.
And we're going to go from there. And I especially like horror movies with social commentary, like something deeper going on with it.
Absolutely.
And I do like the commentary on the classism and basically elitism in this. So it was very enjoyable. It is on my list of movies Jackie likes, and I'm excited to see the next two.
Perfect. Yeah, I didn't know that you hadn't seen the next two going into it. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Pat, you were going to say something.
Yeah, the movie did a fantastic job of reinforcing just how fucking scary rich, entitled white kids can be.
Yeah.
And not like the adults, like the kids.
The Hitler the Hitler / Republican youth.
Oh, God. He even showed up in his like his prep school jacket. Like, ah.
Okay, but a side note, also very stupid attire on their part. Some of those girls weren't wearing shoes. And also none of them thought, hey, maybe we should wear some kind of protective gear. I guess that goes with the entitlement. They were like, no one's going to stab me. But like, someone totally could. You're wearing a linen dress. Like, nothing. Someone's going to attack you. Sorry. I got very animated about the girl not wearing shoes.
Because
I kept thinking, walking down the street's going to be horrible. What are you doing?
That's a fair concern. Blood, broken glass, bullet casings. Who knows what else?
Exactly.
Right. Yeah, yeah. You show up in ballet slippers to rip walls off of someone's home with a Jeep.
I fucking love this movie. I love this entire series. I didn't get to see this when it was in the theater. I saw it after it came out on video. Shortly after, and once I did, I was like, all right, they're making more of these. I am so fucking down for this. Because in addition to falling into like that kind of sci-fi / horror home invasion trope, it also has a lot of killing rich people,
mm-hmm.
which is just a classic staple of things Dustin Meadows loves.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you put class war in a film, I'm on board. My favorite Disney movies are about class war. Fucking Robin Hood, Aladdin, the Aristocats. Dustin's there for it. I also like, too, I will agree to disagree with you on Ethan Hawke. I enjoy him a lot.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because, like, 15, 20 years ago, Ethan Hawke, bankable star. Like, you put him in a movie, your movie's going to at least make some money. And then, of course, Training Day, which is a fucking amazing film, although he's not the shining star of that movie by any stretch. I love seeing actors like this do genre films, because I think it's nice, because like back in 2002, if somebody kicked this to Ethan Hawke, he's just coming off like an Oscar nominated movie, like probably not going to touch something like this. Yeah. Later in his career, when he's done all the fucking by the numbers, like summer blockbusters, dramas, whatever else that he's wanted to do, like early on, he can experiment and do shit like this. Kurt Russell, like, I think I was thinking about that because I just saw Bone Tomahawk, earlier this week, which is like a horror slash western.
Oh boy, yeah.
And oh man, love that movie. Like Kurt Russell, like kind of falls into that, but even that, like Kurt Russell also started doing genre pictures, but then he had a stretch where he was definitely doing like bigger films for sure, and then to kind of see him do something like that is like, oh, this is like kind of a return to how Kurt Russell was like starting out. So I love seeing big names do genre pictures like this.
Yeah, I think my biggest issue with Ethan Hawke currently is his newfound love for like Guy Fieri style frosted tips and spiked hair. He seems to be really into that. That's, I guess, what he just does when he's not in movies now.
Sometimes you just want to go to Flavortown, man. Sometimes Ethan Hawke just wants some bacon burrito bombs or whatever the fuck Guy Fieri makes. I guess let's jump into some of the other stuff. So we kind of touched on the Young Republicans thing with like clearly a lot of the people, like the movie opens with footage from the Purge feed where you see the Purge taking place all over the world. I love like the first three towns they show, all places I've been to. Because it's like Huntsville, Alabama, South Bend, Indiana, which is a weird place to include on your feeds because South Bend is most known for being the home of Notre Dame University, and that's it. Like, I have done comedy in that town. There is nothing else there. There is a Golden Corral, the university, a couple of graveyards, a comedy club, and a whole lot of nothing else.
Yeah.
And then Salina, Ohio shows up, which I have also been to. It was like, of the places in Ohio they picked, like not like a Columbus or a Cleveland or even a Toledo. It's like Salina, Ohio is like, oh, this small town that you may have driven through in Ohio. But it starts off like you see street violence. You see basically it's like all lower class people like kind of dressed in regular stuff. And then once the purge actually starts, we see it's people in the suburbs that are purging. We see it's these fucking rich, entitled prep school kids that are purging. And there's even like the movie entertains debate throughout, like who does this really benefit? And clearly it benefits people with money.
Right.
Because you see that there are security systems that are obviously very expensive that only the wealthier can afford. Ethan Hawke, his character James, at one point even says stuff like this doesn't happen in our neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, the chicken's done. Come home to roost, y'all. And I also think it's interesting. There's that twist at the end of the movie when the neighbors show up, save them, and then turn on them because they're jealous of their wealth and think it's being flaunted at them. Only fucking rich people would get jealous of how much other rich people have.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's very true.
I still, watching this again, I was like, nah, you should have killed your neighbors. Because, like, now, like, every year, like, you're going to be looking over your shoulder and wondering if your neighbors are going to try and fucking kill you.
Well, I would hope she would move.
Yeah.
I mean, her husband died in that house. That's a lot to take.
That's true. That's very true. But also, your neighbors might come looking for you.
Your neighbors might come looking for you. What were those security systems, though? Because it looked like just a fancy button that makes this metal thing slide down that actually doesn't protect you at all. Because they ripped that off real quick with just a Jeep.
Yeah.
It was like a gigantic truck. Like,
literally looked like a
Jeep. That was just like a Jeep Wrangler they had out there.
And Ethan Hawke even says, like, they're not designed to withstand, like, a prolonged siege. Mm-hmm. Like, they're there to look good and basically just visually deter anyone who's interested. But he says, like, yeah, if somebody really wanted to get in here, they could get in here, which makes sense because it's just steel shutters.
Like, yeah.
It's a security system sign in your yard. And you're like, just don't come because it's here. I didn't buy this sign on eBay. It's fine.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, be warned, if you break into this house, it's going to beep at you so loud.
one of the things they say towards the end of the movie when they're doing the radio broadcast during the credits, one of the first reports says this was the most successful Purge night in 5 years of like doing the Purge. So like, I guess what quantifies a successful Purge night?
And how do they know that quickly? Like, if they're counting by people dead, are they this? They have people there all night just counting. Okay, I can see like three bodies on the screen. Like, how are they counting that quick?
I mean, it's very light because they've got the Purge feeds. Like, because that's the other thing too, is like, it seems like in addition to having this Purge night, there's clearly like some Big Brother level like surveillance going on, mm-hmm. like nationwide, mm-hmm. which again would also fit in with the whole new founding fathers thing. Because
yeah, that spoiler is alert:
the right is okay with surveillance.
Yeah,
and that makes sense because I was wondering at the end of the movie, they're all sitting at the table. It turns to 7, the alarm goes off, and they all just leave. And I'm like, what's to stop them from still killing each other? Like, they're like, oh, it was like 3 minutes after, but it's fine. Like, who's paying attention to like the 5 or 10 minutes before the police show up? Because apparently all of the police in the world are showing up everywhere.
They'd probably be able to figure out after the fact.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, as soon as it ended, like, you hear sirens immediately. And so I was like, those people are probably doing more work, like, the morning after than yeah. they do all year.
That's got to suck.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, just overworked coroners, police, firefighters, emergency services, like, all of it. So I'm sure they could easily call a time of death. And they don't state it explicitly in this one, but anyone who violates the Purge, either the protocols of like using an explosive device or going after a government official ranking 10 or higher, they are hanged after the fact for violating Purge law.
Oh.
So like that's also silly that the Purge, the whole idea is like, hey, it's chaos. There are no laws. But then it's like, here are a couple of caveats, a couple of fucking provisions, if you will. I was like, this is fucking bullshit. And then the country still eats it up because like clearly it's the rich state. And it's like, hey, you can't do anything to us, like the people in power. Mm-hmm. And people are just like, yeah, okay, that's fair.
Yeah. No. It seemed like at the end when they were trying to quantify the success, they also immediately launched into like economic evaluation, just like, you know, security system and gun sales are up and like profits in both of those sectors. Mm. And that reminded me a little bit of how things typically work in the wake of like mass shootings in real life, yeah. where there's a large mass shooting. And then there is inevitably talk about, you know, trying to prevent mass shootings in the future through some type of legislative reform, and the response is that everybody just starts buying more guns.
Yep. Yeah. It's weird too, like just that idea, like that panic response. Like, we got hit with a pretty big snowstorm this weekend. I went grocery shopping Friday, not because I was afraid that I would never be able to get groceries, but because I literally was down to like a pizza left in my freezer and I knew that wasn't going to be enough. And everybody clearly had the same idea and it was a fucking madhouse. And just like people like were shoving people out of the way. Like it was the last eggs they were going to get. I was like, there are like 5 people like restocking shelves, like while you guys are getting things, like everything's fine. It's crowded, but it was a fucking nut house. Like, it was lunacy. And all because, like, a storm was coming in and people just fucking panicked. Mm-hmm. It's like, we live in the Midwest. Like, this has happened before.
Yeah.
Like, I was there because, like I said, I had no groceries because I hadn't gone grocery shopping yet. And everybody else there, like, they were just buying, like, everything they could get their hands on. It's like, this is going to be, like, by Sunday, you'll be able to get back out again. It'll be fine.
Yeah. I love that, people always tend to buy like the wrong stuff in those situations too. The first thing everybody buys is like bread and milk. And you know what? 2 things don't last very long.
Yep.
Bread and milk. Like, if you want to guarantee that you starve in your home, because you've been snowed in for 3 weeks,
yeah,
buy the shit that expires in 7 days.
Yeah. Get perishables.
Yeah. Just do that. Sounds like a wonderful plan.
Like, load up on fucking canned goods.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, funny to me. You should be buying
Bush's baked beans until the winter purge is over.
Before Columbus remembers that it's in Ohio again.
Yeah. Well, because and then it was even worse. Like, coming home, I caught a little bit of people talking on the radio. It was like, oh, power outages might occur. Like, some of my friends were posting on Facebook. There's oh, power outages might happen. So, charge your phones now. I was like, how the fuck do you know? I can count on one hand how many snowstorms have knocked my power out. It's zero. Yeah. It's always thunderstorms and lightning mm-hmm. when power does go out. And even then, I've had my power knocked out here more from fucking rolling brownouts because of the fucking incompetence of the power company than any fucking disaster or storm or anything.
Yep.
But these people are just parroting that shit out. It's you got to do this. Power might go out. I was like, who the fuck are you? How do you know these? You're full of shit.
I thought my power was going off, but it was my cat hitting my lamp. So it was fine.
Oh, boy. A lot of mild inconveniences across the board.
Yeah.
The fucking nerve. I wanted to... They're in the movie, for the most part, we only see three people who aren't white. The first, the biggest character is the homeless guy that Charles, the son, lets into the house that's being chased by the rich fucking psychopaths.
Yes.
And then the other two are neighbors. There's the Asian neighbor that the homeless dude then shoots when they break in to try and kill the Sandin family. And then there's a black lady who's married to one of the other guys, in the rich shitty neighbors club.
Mm-hmm. So ones who have the purge party every year.
Yeah, which I'm real excited to get to these later ones so we can talk about this purge party thing. Because everyone in this movie, James in the Sandin family, James is the only one who initially wholeheartedly believes in the purge. Mm-hmm. Who mm-hmm. believes that it's worthwhile, that it's helpful. It's when Lena Headey is talking about it, she's we have to remember the purge is good for. She wavers constantly. And then when they do beat up the homeless guy, and go to tie him up, she's the first person that isn't one of the kids to say we can't do this. We're not these people. And then of course they all end up realizing that they're what a horrible thing it is. And James, it makes sense. Why would he fucking know how terrible it is? He's literally never had to witness it firsthand.
Yeah.
Right.
So there's also this trope, too, that I like in movies of seeing what happens with normal people when they're confronted with violence. How do they react? What lengths do they go to? And in this case, it is to become a fucking badass with a pump shotgun.
Yeah, holy moly. When he shoots the first creepy girl wearing a linen dress, right in the chest with that shotgun.
Oh, yeah.
That is
oh,
so goodness. Satisfying.
Yeah.
Well, it's she rockets up, then hits the pool table, and then rolls back onto the ground. Yeah, it's not John Wick level stylized violence, but the violence in this movie is done very well. It's not done in a way that I feel is excessive or glorifying violence at all. It's done in a way that you see something terrible happen to somebody and you're just oh fuck, that's what this does. That's how horrible this is.
Yeah.
And even when you're cheering, it's yeah, he fucking killed all those shitty rich people. You're just god damn, that's intense.
Yeah. Right. It did a pretty good job of capturing that also, what parents are capable of when they feel their children.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are in danger.
Yeah, they're defending their home.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
And that's what he actually tells his wife when he's giving her the gun. He's our kids live here. It's the talk up talk. They're going to murder our children. Maybe stop them.
Yeah, I was disappointed that we didn't see some more double revolver action from the mom as the halls holding both of the guns.
Yeah. Well, and that's because she obviously was nervous, she wasn't prepared for it at all. So that makes me wonder does James, since he sells security systems, does he just get firearms training? Because like,
yeah, he was really calm.
Yeah, like he knew what he was doing. Like he was practiced like a goddamn like a law enforcement officer. The way like he was clearing rooms and handling himself, and then like everybody, like even Charlie, even the son, like fucking like gets a shot off when he gets attacked, and then the daughter kills the lead rich prep school dude. And, like, she fucking hits all her shots.
Mm-hmm. All, and, like, 14 of them.
Yeah. Would, yeah, nobody, like, only one person in this movie gets shot once. Well, I guess two people. Because there's, the shotgun doesn't count. That's like getting shot five times. But the only time anybody gets shot, like, once with a pistol is the boyfriend at the very beginning when he tries to take out Ethan Hawke. Mm-hmm. But he gets shot at, like, three times. And only one of them actually catches him.
Yeah. Or well, there's also when does the main villain guy have a name? He looks like a Taggart to me.
I believe he's credited Remy. As the polite man or something like that.
The polite man.
Well, he's very civil at first when he approaches the house.
Yeah, no, in a creepy kind of way.
There is where he just like out of nowhere just like shoots his friend in the forehead.
That's true.
Leans over his shoulder.
Oh yeah, one freaking out. He's not being polite.
Yeah, what's
I was really interested in the rich kids in this because, like, the montage of them, like, when the son, what's his name, Charlie, he's looking at the monitors, and the, like, the girls are, like, kissing each other with masks on, or they're on the swing set. I'm like, who the fuck are these people?
Yeah.
That they're like, we're going to be real creepy in their front yard before we go in and beat them up.
Well, that's the thing. Like, they're biding their time. They're literally waiting on the trucks to get there.
I just think they're so ridiculous and being a little dramatic. Like, let's try to be creepy outside. Like, you're some fucking kid who goes to college. Shut up.
Oh, I don't disagree. That's why most of them are wearing masks. Like, literally, the leader is the only one who doesn't wear a mask the whole time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, like, part of me wonders, because, like, masks come up, like, throughout the entire trilogy. Like, there are people wearing masks. And I wonder if maybe the idea behind that is, like, so that people won't know who they were. Like, because clearly, like, they want to purge, but, like, and it's literally like it's legal. They can go out and do this, but maybe it's because they don't want people to know that they gave into that. Like I don't know. It's very bizarre. Like how much the mask thing recurs throughout the entire series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I'd be interested. This movie only kind of hit on it a little bit. I think it's just one of James's lines. But, you know, they talk about what it was like before the purge was a thing.
Yeah.
And if this movie's only taken place in 2022, movie came out in 2013.
Yes.
He's like, you know, 90% of the population was around before the purge was a thing. So, like, it'd be interesting to see a little bit more about, you know, from people, you know, talking about, you know, what it was like beforehand. And then, you know, the moral implications of, like, creating the purge and allowing it to happen. You know, probably people were in masks because they realize that, like, you know, they're enjoying it, but they know it's wrong.
Yeah.
They know it's fucked up.
So that's actually, so the next Purge movie is coming out this summer. It's called The Purge, The Island. And it's supposed to be a prequel that basically sets up how the U.S. comes to adopt the Purge. Oh. So I think we're going to get some of those answers this summer.
That's exciting.
So, and then, yeah, like I said earlier, like, as it expands, like, you see more about how, like, class-wise it affects the outside world at large. And then in the third one, election year, like, you literally see the political, like, implications and consequences and the kind of people that are, like, actually putting this into practice. So, yeah, this movie does, the entire series does a really great job of, like, kind of building up and, for lack of a better phrase, like, basically, like, yes-anding. And building upon the details of this universe.
Yeah, I'm excited for the next ones.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, they're cool. Good. election year in particular, I really liked. And the second and third one, we get Frank Grillo from Captain America, the Winter Soldier.
Oh, okay.
So,
Captain America came back around.
Yeah. The dude that plays Crossbones.
Yeah.
And he is fucking amazing in these movies. Like, he's so good. Like, he's one of those actors, like, you see him and everything else, it's like, oh, what a great supporting dude. And then it's like, oh, man, I wonder if we let this dude, like, just lead the cast in a genre film. And the answer is it's fucking awesome. It's great. Like, he's so good in the next two movies.
I noticed in the this is really spoiling anything, I hope, in the trailer for the election year one, I noticed that the government lady they picked to be good was both a blonde lady and wore these like ridiculous big glasses. That was both when Hillary and Bernie were going for the Democrat.
Election year came out the year before the election.
Yeah.
Or no, it came out the year of it the came election. Out in 2016.
2016.
Yeah. Because they adopted the tagline, didn't they? Make America Great Again.
Oh, yeah. They absolutely straight from the fucking headlines, like with election year. It very much played to what was going on at the time.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. I just thought that was funny that they covered their bases. They're like, we can get an old dude or a lady. Let's just get a lady and give her old dude glasses. It's good.
Yeah. Yep. And it's a lady who played Juliet in Lost. I can't remember the actress's name, but she's really good in that movie as well. Mm. So it's a real good time, aside from all the murder.
Aside from all the murder. Yeah. I feel like a real life purge would have a lot more, well, it would probably still have murder, but it would be more like, let's fucking rob some places and get shit we can't afford.
Oh, yeah. And you'll
so much killing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's, you see a lot more of that stuff in the next installments as well, since they're actually stepping outside of the suburbs.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And everything expanding. But yeah, it's, they're really good. And this is such like an understated, like perfect start for this series, is like just keeping it confined and like seeing like what are the conflicts, like what are the emotional responses. Elizabeth Mitchell from Lost. There we go.
Ah.
So, and that just threw my train of thought.
No. No, Elizabeth.
Sorry. Everybody.
It's all right. It's important to know Elizabeth Mitchell from Lost. She's terrific. So yeah, no, like we said we kind of like, especially with Charlie, he's kind of the moral voice of reason as far as like, you know, what's wrong with the purge, why we shouldn't do this. And then of course, like obviously when he lets the guy into the house because he's asking for help and no one else is helping him.
Mm-hmm. I like how they worked in a really cool slide under something that's closing.
Indiana Jones movie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
In so many movies, like, I always look for it. It's going to happen.
It's like, do it. It's going to look cool every time. So I guess let's move on. Let's say we live in the world of the Purge. Purge night rolls around. What would you guys do?
There's two potentials. Either I would do what I said before and just fucking steal some stuff, or the B would just be similar to what the family did. Like, I'm gonna stay in my house and just if anyone comes in, you know, get rid of them. I don't think I'll be in super danger. I'm sure I've pissed people off, but those people also know I'm like the only one in the group we hang out with who knows how to operate a gun, so maybe don't do that.
Yeah.
Another thing I was kind of wondering in the same note, because they say police and emergency services are suspended, I'm like, oh, okay. And then my brain thought, well, I guess the positive is everyone gets a night off. And then I was like, wait, what? Do like McDonald's workers still work during the purge? Is that still open? Can you be like making burgers while people are dying? So I don't know. Maybe in this future world, I'm working while we have the purge.
Isn't that already McDonald's business model? Just making burgers while people are dying.
That's a very good slogan.
That's very true. That is a good. My understanding is that everything is locked down.
No, okay.
Basically, if you choose to keep a business open, you do so at your own risk.
You'll probably die. Okay, then I'll enjoy a nice night in making people stay out of my house.
There you go.
Yeah, I don't know that I have the capability to kill a person.
Sure.
Which is why I think why I was taken aback by so much just like straight up killing in this movie. I did expect more like burning and looting and just being rowdy.
Oh, you'll get plenty in the next ones.
Perfect. You know, I hesitate to say this because I think even in the Purge universe, this would get me pariahed.
Uh-huh.
But there's a dog on my street I really hate.
Pass.
See? And something tells me that even in the Purge universe, like, oh, go kill 50 people, you're fine. In the morning, everything's forgotten. You kill one dog.
The dog's not going to come at you with a knife or anything. He's just a dog.
It barks all night and I can smell it. We're in a row of townhouses and it's like three townhouses down, but you can like smell the dog smell like even outside of this person's apartment.
Oh my god.
And it's I hate it.
See, I'm opposite of Pat. I do know I have the capability to fight someone and kill them if they were breaking into my house, but I would not kill a dog.
I love this guy. I literally just watched Rent yesterday, and I was remarking how much I hate the Angel character because she takes money to kill a fucking Akita, like at one point in the movie.
Yeah.
And like, and I was just like fuming. I was like, this fucking bitch. Like, I was so mad. Like, that movie infuriates me to begin with. I was watching it as brush up slash research for a mixtape show. And like, there are like three parts that make me like just physically angry in that movie. One of them is her bragging about how she made money killing a little dog.
Aww.
Dropping it off like the 20th story window too, which is like, that's excessive.
Yeah.
Like, just, I don't know, throw it in front of a car or something. Like, dropping, that's too much.
Just make it quick.
Akitas are, like, beautiful dogs. It's not like this, like, smelly lab that lives by me.
Pat tries to rationalize and get the audience back on his side. Oh, it's a smelly Labrador? Oh, I'm with Pat on this one.
Now I'm going to have to hide my cat during the purge. It's just me and Pat shows up.
No, I'm not coming to your cat. Honestly, I'm just going through my house and I'm fixing all the things that my landlord hasn't fixed that the lease says that I'm not supposed to mess with myself.
Oh, what if you kidnap your landlord and make them do it?
Ooh, that's a plan.
Yeah.
That is a plan. But like, yeah, you gotta, to replace a fucking hot water tank in Columbus, you gotta get a damn permit. And like, so no, I'm replacing my hot water tank during the purge.
This is just,
I'm not about to buy that permit.
This is just turning into Pat Sievert's purge joke.
Oh, does he have one that's
He has this amazing joke where he talks about the purge. Everybody's like, what would you do during the purge? Everybody's like, I'd kill somebody. He's like, I'd build a deck. Somebody comes up, they're like, hey, is that deck up to code? No, it's up to purge code. I always think about that joke when I watch these movies.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's Pat Sievert from Michigan. Great dude. Check him out. But yeah, that, as soon as you started there, I was like, this is just the Pat Sievert joke. You would fix the things that you're not allowed to fix per your lease. That's also such a you answer, though, too.
Wouldn't that be great, though? We have this ability to kill everybody, and just everybody's like, no, I'm just kidding.
Underage drinking.
Yeah.
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 Milk,
what would you do during purge? I'm going to put pineapple on pizza.
I'm going to give cigarettes to 17-year-olds.
I'm going to make deviled eggs without paprika.
Oh.
I'm going to stay up past 10 o'clock.
Oh, man. Would you commit any culinary crimes or faux pas during purge, Pat?
Yes.
Please tell me.
I am actually a huge fan of Cheetos with the like Lay's brand French onion dip that comes like pre-made in a jar.
Oh.
That's shelf stable.
Okay. I'm not as appalled by this as the dog thing, because you're not killing a dog. And also, I used to eat when I was younger mayonnaise and Cheeto sandwiches. So that is Appalachia for you.
What a dirty laundry getting there during the purge. Oh, my God.
It was so good.
Oh man, mine was I would just kill political figures.
Yeah. Also that.
It's like I don't think I could kill a normal person, but it's like I could kill a skinhead or like a racist senator.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And that's like I would even like if they're level 10 clear and whatever, I don't give a shit. I'll do it. Fucking hang my ass. It would be worth it to take certain of them out. I don't know who's listening, so I'm not going to name names, but we've seen my Twitter. We probably got some ideas.
Oh, was that a 10? I thought it was a 1. You see, it was upside down when I looked at it. So this shouldn't count.
Oh, man, I would bring outside food or drink into the movie theater. Like, I do that now sometimes anyway, but like I would just like throw it in their face. be like, hey, you guys don't sell this Arizona tea that I like, so I brought my own. Oh, does this theater smell like sushi? It's because I snuck some in. No, I didn't even stink. I just carried it out. Just opened the tray in front of you. I'm not going to use this wasabi, but I'm going to leave it.
Ooh, what would be great? Places with no public restroom. Just go in, use the restroom.
Oh, my God.
Buy nothing.
I go to so many gas stations. Hey, you can't use that bathroom. It's like, Perch says I can use that bathroom.
Yeah. But then how do they respond to that? They just exactly. like put their hands up and are just like, oh, fuck, he gets to use the bathroom. Or do they then just like shoot you?
Oh,
well, that's why I go in with a gun. I was like, hey, I'm using this bathroom. Yeah. Full disclosure, I'm going to look at some stuff, but I'm not going to buy a goddamn thing. You want this to get ugly? That's your call.
Oh, yeah, man. That would allow me to go to the Purge would allow me to go to record stores without guilt, because I always feel so bad when I walk in there and I flip through shit for an hour and then don't buy anything. The Purge. No guilt. Just going to flip through shit and absolutely not buy anything.
I would go to bars with the fucking $10 minimum. I'd spend $5. Like, it's yes. $10 minimum. I was like, not tonight. Tonight it's purge minimum. Gonna need a double whiskey Coke, no ice to go. You can't take that out of the bar. I was like, Purge says I can.
Here I thought I was against the Purge.
Right?
That's a world I want to live in.
Oh, man. You imagine if the Purge was on like a Black Friday?
Oh, my goodness.
Holy moly.
Limit one per customer? Not
no,
today.
No. It wouldn't matter, you know. Oh, so many workers. Those poor workers, though. I am glad places are closed now that we've established they're closed. I don't want to think about Target workers on a Black Friday Purge.
Oh, man. That'd be terrible.
It's a lot of death.
Hey, man, you can't call off work. I was like, Purge says I can call off work. Yeah, no legal recourse. I'm trying to think of like what other fun like little things you could do.
You can rip the tags off of mattresses.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, yeah.
All the time.
Yeah. No shirt, no shoes, no service. Not today.
Just a lot of nudists really like yeah. Purge.
No dogs allowed. Today, dogs is allowed. Except the one
except
Pat
one.
Kills.
Except for one.
No video, no flash photography. I'll go to a fucking Tool concert. I'll videotape the whole thing on my cell phone. What do you got to say about that, Tool?
So do Tool concerts look like their music videos where just a lot of like weird claymation things are getting chopped up?
I wish. It doesn't. It's mainly a bunch of fucking neckbeards that want to really talk to you about Christopher Hitchens. Oh, oh yeah. Like the show itself, great show. Band's mm-hmm. amazing live, but goddamn, the people there, I was like, I can't wait to not be in this fucking concert hall right now.
Yeah.
Because like they're also the kind of like literally somebody in front of me yelled Freebird during their set. I was like, come on, man. I thought you guys were supposed to be like a bunch of smart, pretentious assholes.
Yeah.
Freebird, fuck yourself.
Oh, goodness. The Purge would be really fun without the murder part, which brings me to the point. I really like the voiceover lady who like announces the Purge on everyone's TV.
Yeah, that emergency broadcast.
Yeah, she's like, all crime is legal, including murder. And then she like goes back to her normal voice. And I'm like, that was a lot of emphasis on that.
Yeah.
That's like they're encouraging you to do one thing.
Yeah, it's like, hey, just do murder. Which like, that's also, I don't remember if this comes up in any of the other ones, but like also obviously sexual violence would be legal.
Oh yeah.
Oof.
Which I feel like it would be real easy for them to have fallen into that with this movie, and they did not. So I am very okay with that.
Well, they came very close because the head boy douchebag man looked at a picture of the daughter and he said, she's exquisite, save her for me. And I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
But nothing actually happens, which is better. Thank you.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it does kind of play into, you know, I'm not sure if it was conscious on the part of the movie makers or not, just you know, when we look at civil unrest in the States, how much of an emphasis American leadership and also the American population puts on protecting property versus like protecting human lives in situations like that. Like the penultimate thing is always like, oh, well, they destroyed property, so like now they're the bad people.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, the police can, you know,
murder
beat the
people.
Shit out of people, murder people. Doesn't matter because it's not destroying someone's business. It's just killing a person.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think, too, like, I brain farted. I lost where I was going with that.
It was so quiet, silent but deadly. You didn't even hear it.
Classic. I'm sure I'll remember it another time later. Well, I guess we've gone over how we would purge. Oh, no. Now I remember what I was going to say.
Ooh.
What I would be particularly curious about is to see like a purge movie, like, but like the day after a purge.
Oh, yeah.
Because like case in point, like the end of this movie, those neighbors walk out. Like, how do you go back to normal?
Yeah. Right.
Like, what does normal look like? Like, how many days is it before Lena Headey fucking snaps and on not purge night, she breaks into her fucking neighbor's house and murders her for trying to kill her family?
Yeah. I mean, like, I guess in the suburbs, it's more difficult when everyone knows everyone.
Exactly.
But then versus
what happens? You get attacked by somebody in a freaky purge mask. You fucking knock their mask off. You survive. Like, you know who did that. Like, you've got a face at least.
Right. And like, if it's someone who's close to you, like, holy moly.
Yeah. So I would be very interested. Like, you kind of get that in the Purge Anarchy, but not exactly. And you guys will see that when we get to it, but it's not specifically what I'm saying. So yeah, I would be really curious to see what that looks like in that universe as well. Well, we've hit that. Let's move on to our favorite moment or scene from the movie. Pat, let's start with you and work back.
Well, I think my favorite moment in the movie was when kind of the lead little young Republican kid was getting ready to kill the family while they were on the stairs, and the daughter just blows him away.
Perforates him.
Seven shots, like, from the stairs, like, down into him, like, through the head and the chest and the collarbone and everything, just out of nowhere, just blows him away.
Oh, yeah. Real satisfying.
It was great. Like, I'm glad that the filmmakers, because he, you know, this guy's not a main character, but he's kind of a driving force
Absolutely.
In the movie. I'm glad that they took him out as quickly as they put him in. Just fuck that guy.
Yep. Perfect. Jackie, how about you?
I think mine would be at the end when they're all sitting at the table, and like, Cookie Lady Ringleader Grace.
Oh, yeah.
When she reaches for the gun and the mom just bips her in the face.
Oh, man.
Like, slams it into the table.
Oh, it's so good.
Oh, that's very good. That was a very good moment for the mom, too. That looked very painful and awesome.
Oh, yeah. And then she's just bloody Andrew WK face spitting up teeth.
I said no more killing tonight.
It does sound like a mom scolding the kids.
Yeah.
Get out of your room.
For me, it's a toss-up. For a bigger moment, it's that like 5-minute stretch when Ethan Hawke is like stalking through the house, taking everyone out.
Oh, yeah.
Because like it's done so well. Like, it's done, like, it's shot, like, not in a choppy way where you see everything that's happened. It's a very well-done action sequence, and it's tense. And then, like, literally, like, as soon as he kills, like, the five people, he literally turns and gets fucking stabbed, like, out of nowhere. Like, it's just such, like, you feel, like, just like, yeah, he fucking did it. And then it's like, oh, he's done.
Yeah.
And it's a real fucking bummer, but it's a really effective sequence. Mm-hmm. Where you get to see that culmination of what happens when you push normal people. Then you also get to see how quickly things can fucking change out of nowhere. The other moment for me, it's a very little moment that I don't think I saw the first time I watched this because I stopped watching during the credits. But when you get like the broadcast after, they're saying how successful the Purge Night was. And then you hear them interview the one person at the very end. He says that he was a strong patriot, but during the purge, he lost two of his sons, and now he's not so sure. Like, just hearing that person, like, because, you know, you see this shit, and as long as it doesn't affect you, it's like, oh, yeah, this is great. And then the second it fucking snatches something from you, it's like, oh, maybe this is bad. And that's the only way some people realize that shit sometimes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was a really solid way to close the movie, because they could have just left it. It was like, this purge was successful, blah, blah, blah. It's like, all right, we get it. Everything's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's like, oh, this is hitting real people, and now they're starting to realize, hey, maybe this thing we thought was good for us isn't. And I think it's a super effective moment. And like, you don't even, it's literally just audio that you hear. And whoever had to say those two or three lines fucking nailed it. Like, you can hear the pain in their voice, and it hits. Cool. Well, let's wrap it up with plugs. So, Pat, what do you got coming up?
February 20th is the next Stand Up for Choice. We're super excited for it. We're benefiting NAROL Pro Choice Ohio this time around. Our headliners coming all the way from D.C. We'll have Catherine Jessup.
Oh, Catherine's fucking
this
great.
Time. Yeah, we're very excited.
Awesome.
Cool.
Jackie, how about you?
Well, we have the Big Lebowski live reading. That's the 29th, I believe.
Monday the 29th, January.
Monday the 29th, Mikey's Late Night Slice on 4th Street in the attic. You can watch people read a movie that you could also watch at home, but we're funnier, maybe. I don't know.
That'd be a real fun time. As always, you can check out Whiskey Bear shows at whiskeybearcomedy.com. We also have the Whiskey Bear Comedy Festival coming up. You can donate, buy advanced tickets, submit to perform your comic. You can learn more about that by visiting whiskeybearcomedyfestival.com as well. We've got Hot Dog coming up on Monday, January 22nd, the fourth Monday of every month. Mm-hmm. On February, Monday the 5th, Monday, February 5th, we are doing a taping for some comedians so that they can have some festival submission clips. It's a free show. Check that out at Mikey's. And then on Tuesday, February 6th, we're doing the roast of the Disney sidekicks at the Backstage Bistro.
Yeah.
Pat and myself are on that.
I'm not on that one.
Okay. Yeah. Pat and myself are on that. Going to be a lot of birds on that show.
Zazu.
So it should be a good one.
Wow.
Cool. Pat, Jackie, thanks for doing the show.
Anytime.
No problem.
Thanks to Eric, our fact checker and sound guy. And thank you all for listening. Hopefully it won't be 4 months for the next episode. Have a good one.
It's the Big Dumb Picture Show.
Classic. Let me get a sip of my beer mosa. Nature's nectar, they call it. Oh, boy. And welcome back to Big Dumb Picture.